Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Connie Nielsen's going to hang out with us. We're going to talk to her a little more. We're going to do some news coming up as well. And first, I'll tell you about LifeLock. Coronavirus sparked an increase in cybercrime complaints to the FBI, like domain names, spoofing, PPE vendors, scams, promising government checks, and fake COVID charities. It's important to understand how cybercrime and identity theft are affecting our lives every day. We put our info out there on the internet, taking a risk, man. Cyber criminals keep finding ways to steal identities. You could miss certain threats if you're just monitoring your credit. LifeLock. I have it. We all have it here. It's important. It's 2020. You have to protect yourself. You have to protect your identity. You have to protect your credit with the best. LifeLock, right, Dawson?
LifeLock detects a wide range of identity threats, like your social security number for sale on the dark web. If they detect your info has potentially been compromised, they'll send you an alert, and you'll have a dedicated restoration specialist for your case. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses. LifeLock can see threats you might miss on your own. Join now and save up to 25% off your first year by using promo code Adam. Call 1-800-LifeLock or head to LifeLock.com. Use promo code Adam for 25% off.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral, all those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gino Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Need news with Gino Grad.
The news with Gino Grad.
I have some breaking news right now as we record this. I believe we touched on this on the show, but just to give you an update, tattoo artist Daniel Joseph Silva, he's from the tattoo show,
Ink Masters.
Yes, thank you. He has been charged with murder of Corey Labari. He was the 25-year-old YouTube star who was killed in a car crash right here over in Valley Village. And prosecutors just announced this. Silva's 26. He faces one count of murder in the case, which stems from a Sunday evening crash that resulted in the death of his passenger, which was Labari, in Silva's McLaren sports car. And from what I remember of the story, I think it was Labari's birthday, and they had this is just from my recollection, they were coming from some sort of party or event, and it accidental, obviously, but killed the passenger. And
charged with murder.
He could face 15 years to life in state prison, according to prosecutors. That's the maximum possible sentence.
And Lori Loughlin walks the streets.
Terrorizing all of us.
Well, wait a minute. He must have had alcohol in his system, right?
Because it was a drunk driving. I read it was a drunk driving.
Yeah.
Yeah. Certainly not, meditated.
Yeah. But no, what I'm saying is if he was sober and lost control of the car, he wouldn't be charged with murder. I think the alcohol is what gets him into that area. And I'm not sure
why. I'm just reading this as I'm recording it.
They have vehicular manslaughter. I wonder why it's got the word vehicular right in it. And I'm not sure why they don't use that
either.
One
of two things: either they're quickly trying to get this out because it's reportable at this moment, mm-hmm. and maybe missed a detail or two, or there's something that Garagos is going to have to explain to all of us in terms of what separates those things.
Well, I do know that if you've had like prior DUIs or something like that, that can up the ante. And I would bet there was drunk driving mixed with maybe a prior, which then can get you from vehicular manslaughter to murder. If I can kind of hear Mark Garagos in the back of my head, but
listen, you're getting your honorary degree.
Well, I've been spending a lot of time with the guy, and I have no idea whether I'm right or not. But if he's sober and has no prior DUIs, he should not be charged with murder. But there's a bigger problem, which is people getting rich fast and buying supercars, and people don't realize these cars are hypercars. These McLarens. These Ferraris, many McLaren, many Ferraris, Lamborghinis. I mean, if you look back to when we were kids and there was a guy with a Mustang that was all souped up, or a guy with a Corvette that was all souped up, and you thought that was a fast car, or Ferraris of even our day when you were a kid. Those cars would go 0 to 60 in 5.5, 6 seconds, 7 seconds. These cars are 0 to 60 sub 3 seconds, which might not sound that fast, but you take what a Mustang or Corvette or a Ferrari could do in the 80s and chop that number in half and then some, that is breakneck fast. These cars have, you know, 600-700 horsepower, and sort of the Kevin Hart situation, the people that are driving them are not qualified to drive them at all. They just get in them. They would never. It's essentially a weapon, and you don't have to be licensed, especially licensed, to get the same license where you could buy a Prius can buy you the McLaren, and you can just drive away in the McLaren. I mean, if in fact you have the money. Yes,
that is a great point. Like, we have to have a special license for motorcycles and for trucks,
right?
Like for big trucks, right? Right. Yeah. And those are, as you say, like literally just in a different category in terms of potency. And I just think that that is a great point. I do think that if you're getting a sports car that has like way more weight and will behave very differently than, you know, even like a great Tesla, it will still, I mean, that's just still that other step up to a McLaren or a Ferrari. So I agree with you. It's almost like you should have special training for driving that kind of car.
Yeah.
Yeah. And to that end, what I didn't mention was, according to the reports, he did try to flee from the scene, but he was stopped by some onlookers, and they obtained these legal documents from TMZ, from the Metro. It says the Ink Master star, quote, did unlawfully and with malice aforethought murder Labari. So how they're going to prove that, I'm not sure, but that's what it says in a legal document.
Hmm.
A forethought. That's a new one.
So he's just driving recklessly, got into an accident. The guy in the passenger seat died, and there we are. It's happened a lot. Yeah.
It's also crazy that, like, you know, we joke on this show about how, you know, once we got these devices in our pockets that can answer any question, that should have been the end to all the arguments. But here we are arguing more than ever. Like, it's crazy that there's still drunk driving in the age of Uber and Lyft. Like, you would have thought that that's going to be the end. There'll be no more drunk driving accidents, and, or certainly, you know, a fraction of them. And
brakes that stop for you,
and
but not in a car like this.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Well, nobody. The problem is no Uber driver's driving a McLaren, so you got to slum it back to your house.
Even Uber Plus.
And also, it's not like, you know, drinking or taking drugs makes your prefrontal cortex more sort of efficient. You know,
it's like far from it.
You're not going to be, you know, controlling your impulses very well during, you know, those situations.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's definitely developing, and we'll check back in about that. So President Trump says he's taking the anti-malaria drug hydroxychloroquine to protect himself from COVID-19. He told reporters this week that he's been taking it for a couple of weeks. And despite FDA warnings of heart complications, Trump said a lot of good things have come out about the hydroxy. A lot of good things have come out. You'd be surprised at how many people are taking it. I'm taking it. So, you know, maybe he is, maybe he isn't, but he's announced that he's taking it preventatively.
Maybe he doesn't want to be wrong.
What?
Well put.
Yeah, I mean, look at him. He's in good shape. He's not dead.
Oh,
well,
please.
I guess.
Is he in good shape? Where do you good get shape. That from? That's crazy.
No, he's in bad shape. He's healthy, but he's not in good shape. I talked to Dr.
We
Drew
don't
about
know.
This.
I don't trust anything that comes out of his doctor's mouth. I mean, how do we know? I don't think anything that doctor says is real.
Well, you
is,
can't trust a doctor with a ponytail.
Is his doctor the old guy, the other guy, or does he have a new guy?
Who's his, the ponytail guy? What's his name?
Who's the guy? The guy was like the young scout leader guy.
Yeah, he looked.
I thought
different.
It was Ronnie Jackson. Wasn't it Ronnie
That's
Jackson,
the
handsome?
Yeah, he had like a young, good-looking scout leader kind of guy. From
There was the rock and roll hippie guy before.
Oh yeah, I like that guy,
Ronnie Jackson.
Oh, how do you know Ronnie Jackson?
I know everything.
I couldn't name either one of the guys. All right.
Me neither.
He's on it.
But did you hear what Nancy Pelosi said about him?
Yes.
She said he was morbidly obese.
Yeah, that love true? Affair.
I know.
Real.
But he is morbidly obese.
Category. Yeah.
I'm glad you said that, Adam. Like, that's not the least bit controversial. Like, the guy is, he's very fat. Even Harden supporters would admit it.
It's controversial that she said it. It's not that it's not true or not.
Right.
I think.
Sure. Yeah, sure.
She's, pun intended, playing the Trump card. That's exactly what he would say about anyone else. So
yeah,
he calls people names all day, and she's gonna get into the ring with him, and it's going to be a fireworks.
I don't think it's wrong when you're just stating fact. And what he usually does is to not state fact, but to twist something into something horrendous and demeaning. And then bandy it around and repeat it over and over ad nauseam, right? That's what he does. And I don't think that she's, you know, insulting anyone by stating a fact,
you know, stating his comorbidity.
The simple observation.
Yeah, except for she's the one who tore up his speech behind him. So unfortunately, it's coming from that person who tore the speech up on camera. So I would assume she was making a point.
It could be seen as mean.
It's still true. It doesn't mean it's not true. It's not that hard to get to morbidly obese. It really isn't as difficult as we think.
Maybe the morbidly is a little bit weighted. Yeah.
What do you have to do to get to morbidly obese? Like, I'm 6'2". I'm 200 pounds, basically. How much do I got to put on to get morbidly obese, and see if Dr. Drew can get me some hydrochloroquine? I may be making a move here. And look, think how much bigger Trump would be if he was welcoming national championship teams and giving them the Arby's and fast food in the White House. But yeah,
you need 40 more pounds.
40 pounds.
Oh, yeah. That's not too bad.
Here's how crazy the Trump presidency is. You mentioned the stack of fast food. That feels like fucking 40 years ago. I totally forgot about that.
It does feel like a long time ago.
When was that? I don't even know.
I'm sure 2.5 years ago. A year and a half ago, 2 years ago. I don't know.
I cannot keep track of time anymore. And it had to do, I told you guys, with the Oscars. I was asking, when are the Oscars? Did we have the Oscars? Did I miss the Oscars? Like, one thing this lack of routine has done is made me lose my relationship with time. We've all had that thing where you it's Monday morning and you're not sure what day it is. Like, it's a little bit of that.
Yep. It happened yesterday. It's called temporal disintegration.
Oh.
And everyone's experiencing it.
When you were a kid, it was like that's what the middle of the summer was. You just didn't know what day it was. You couldn't experience that schedule anymore. Fast food buffet at the White House was January 2019.
Jesus.
Clemson.
Year and a half, not even.
Not even, yeah.
So let's stay on the snack tip for a second, because nearly 50,000 people have purchased prepackaged airline meals, which are available for home delivery now. There's this company, and it's kind of a cool company, called Imperfect Foods. They sell the surplus of grocery products like misshapen produce and things
that
are too ugly, you know, that people might not buy at the grocery store, but they're perfectly fine to eat. They're
just a restaurant. Paper.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So,
restaurants buy that stuff.
Right. And there's actually, it's funny, there's a restaurant downtown, and one of their specials is the Ugly Bowl, because it's all from the misshapen stuff. And so, a company called Imperfect Foods sells this stuff. They ship directly to your door. But this month, subscribers to their service discovered that $9 JetBlue snack packs of, you know, the cheeses and the cherries and the crackers and all that crap. The Imperfect Foods company is offering those snack packs for $3 a pop. So the CEO of the company said this was one of our first COVID-19 food waste recovery opportunities. We could only take a fraction of what this airplane meal supplier had. A lot of it has to be tossed just for, you know, spoilage and that kind of thing. Some of it they actually apparently sell to food banks, which I did not know you sell things to food banks. But a lot of these snack packs, they're just selling them at a reduced price because why waste them?
Can I say this? Speaking of JetBlue and all these packs that they now, these food packs, which we all understand is better than the old days of sitting in coach and getting the crappy whatever. Now they have these boxes. You know, it's better, the cheese or whatever it is. But here's what I think they have to do. I think they have to have one menu for the front of coach and one menu for the back of coach where I am, because I get my heart set on that hummus cheese offering, the Middle Eastern offering. And by the time they get back to the plane, they're like, oh, we're all out of the good shit. Naturally, you're out of it. That's what everyone wanted who was before me. And then you got this like kelp and a rice patty and a handful of cashew-go-lean. And it's like, it's all the same price. It's just you don't get what you want. And you've been looking at the glossy picture of the cheese and the hummus and the fruit. And you go, oh, yeah. Yeah, that's going to be good. Have a new disappointment menu for the people in the back of the plane. Like, you shall not be getting any of this. Yes.
Call it the soft landing.
The soft landing. That's right.
But Adam, here's my question. Like, why are you sitting in the back of the plane? Because I got to say, like, that's where there's the most noisy. It's where the bathrooms are. Like, wouldn't you want to have a seat up front?
Adam has a really wide chasm when it comes to where he sits on a plane.
Yeah, I do. I have flown privately a lot. I've sat in first class a lot, and I've also sat in like the middle aisle in the back of the plane.
I'm still talking economy here, but you know, just a tiny bit of like, you know, when you check in, you know, you can actually predetermine where you want to sit mostly.
Well,
or
I'm gonna
I want to bust your
hymen.
Yeah.
Well, you're right. I'm going to go full Rosa Parks from now on. I'm moving up. I'm moving on up to the front of that plane. Yeah. But either way, being out of something, I remember staring at a video where they're like, we have Chef Guzman, and he is meticulous, and he's showing me all the stuff he's making. Yeah, the carving station.
I'm like, motion Parmesan.
Yes. Oh, I'm in love with this Chef Guzman. I am going to eat the shit out of his offerings. And then they get to the back, and they got nothing but the cereal with the non-fat milk. All right. Sorry. So they're taking it to your house?
Yeah, it's part of their delivery service. You can order the JetBlue snack pack meals to throw into your imperfect foods delivery. And I imagine a lot of companies are going to get on board with that, because we always see one and then everybody does it. Like, there was one market here that I don't think any of us have ever been to, the Northgate Market. That was the first one on KFI that we started running commercials for senior hour, that you can go shop in the grocery store an hour before everyone else. Now everyone does it.
Right.
So I'm sure that this will become popular. We have a school that plans on reopening, not online, just good old campus reopening in the fall. And that school is the University of Notre Dame. They're saying, this is from the Notre Dame News, by the way. They're welcoming students back for the 2021 fall semester, 2020-21. Sorry, that was so confusing. Fall semester, the week of August 10th. 2 weeks earlier than originally scheduled. They're going to forego their break in October. They're going to end before Thanksgiving. They're just going to shift everything up, according to the news. In response to the pandemic, Notre Dame sent students home mid-March to complete everything online like everyone else. So the plan for fall will include testing for everybody, contact tracing, quarantine, isolation protocols, everything you would expect, social distancing, mask requirements, enhanced cleaning of the campus. But they want to be locked and loaded for the kids to actually show up in the middle of August.
You think they're doing this because they're a religious school? I mean, do you think that's why they're first? Is there something to do with that?
Well, speaking of religious, what was the other school that refused to close and kept collecting money?
Liberty.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they're on the same plane, but
I think there's something to it, right? Aren't they kind of a religious school? I don't know that much.
They're also a private school, and they're very wealthy, so they can really kind of do whatever they want and not be holding to a governor or what. I mean, that's interesting, actually. I wonder if they'd be holding to the governor of Indiana. That's interesting. I hadn't thought about that.
Well, either way, kids aren't really being affected by this like the elderly are. So get back to school. I'm fine with it. And if you live with your grandparents, then don't go back to campus.
Well, and that was the thing that, you know, hindsight's always 20/20. What we should have said when they were closing all the schools and sending everyone back home, we should have said, keep them there. They're right. not going to get sick. You know, chances are they're healthy. Don't send them back to grandma's house or their elderly parents' house. Let them stay where they are.
I wonder if this is just occurring to me, driven by football, because Notre Dame, obviously a huge football school, the only school I think that has their own football contract with NBC. So they're obviously more motivated for that angle. You know what I mean? To get the students back in school and blah, blah, blah. I don't know. I'm wondering.
Well, they're definitely going to make a bunch of rules like they have in high school, like they have in college, where you can't practice early or participate in X, Y, or Z. There's a whole bunch of rules that they have. Even when I played in high school football, like they'd go, you can't be in pads. You can do passing league, a 7-on-7. Like they had a whole bunch of, you can condition, but you can't practice football. You can do push-ups and run bleachers and wind sprints. So I'm sure they'll have to adhere to that. But yeah, I think it's something about them being religious and something about them being private as well. But
I mean, in Denmark, schools are open again. And, you know, we actually locked down for a month and a half, I think. And schools are back at work there already now. And we have really maintained and controlled the outbreak super well in Denmark. So I do think that it may not be as fraught with risk as it seems on the surface of it. And it does seem like a lot is lost for people who, like kids who have like gone through the hoops to get into these schools, and this is their dream. And, you know, that I think the schools are probably trying to find ways to retain their students and to give them what they signed up for and what they paid for.
Yeah, that exactly. Retain the tuition, because it's how do you justify taking an entire tuition when you're learning online? Yeah. It's not fair.
Chris, do you have that? I think I sent you an audio clip of Cuomo sort of talking about Chris Cuomo talking about schools and like the dangers of schools.
Yeah,
I don't know if you have that, but
you
heard
it off your phone.
The thing about schools is everyone's freaked out. Not me, but everyone else is freaked out. It's like my kids and schools and schools and kids. And the kids seem to be the only ones who are safe in this entire group. They seem to be the safest. Do you have it? But I was listening to Chris Cuomo. I was watching Chris Cuomo on the news the other night. He was kind of explaining to the expert why schools were dangerous. But then I realized, if you're my wife and you're sitting home watching Chris Cuomo explain how schools work, my kids are never going back to school. If you have it, you can.
The way you outline what we have to take into consideration in the classroom really is sobering. I mean, it really is the worst of everything. You got the same air circulating. You got the density. You got people close to each other for long periods. You have lots of same surface touching. You have water fountains, social bathrooms, lunch rooms, the transportations. I mean, they really are, you know, the perfect combination of everything we have to look at.
It's the worst of everything, he described it as. Okay, it's hard to send your kids back to a place called the worst of everything. It does tend to slow people's roll. Fucking panic queen, slow it down.
Makes you think twice.
Yes. Jesus Christ. It's such a fucking panic culture. I'm telling you, there's something you have to worry about. It is indoctrinating your kids into a fear cult. They're all at home now. Everyone is scared. You have no idea how dangerous fear is. Everyone thinks, better safe than sorry. You can't be too safe. You can be too safe. You can cause a lot of damage by being too safe. And there's a lot of psychological baggage that goes along with a fear-based life. Be very careful how much of that you lay on your kids.
Adam, I just want to say, though, you know, I don't know about you guys, but we're all like socially isolating since 2 months here. I'm up in the Bay Area in this house here with my kids. And we've really taken it seriously. And one of the things I've asked, you know, even my grown kids, I've asked them to really be aware of, you know, how are you being of service to your community? You know, in this case, I think it's really important to just see yourself as a potential super spreader. For example, you could be, you don't know, you could be a potential super spreader. And that's not fear-based. That's just kindness. That's just you saying, hey, in case I'm one of those people who can, you know, be sick and not show it even remotely, like think of Typhoid Mary. She didn't know that she was, you know, carrying the disease because she didn't present with any symptoms at all. And, you know, 49 people, I remember, I think, died, you know, because of her. And there are these people who, you know, unbeknownst to themselves, you know, might be sick and spread it around. And the least we can do is just acknowledge that we don't know. And even if we're tested, there are so many different kinds of tests that we still don't have access to. I think that the nicest thing we can do is to protect each other and wear masks and keep a social distance until that curve slows down. And even as it's slowing down, to just, you know, be aware that even as things start open up, we're potentially putting more people at risk. And you just don't know if you're the one who might end up being a spreader of the disease, and to just, it's just a kind thing to do. And I just would love to make sure that everybody feels that it's not just about fear, because I'm not scared. I'm just being kind to my community.
Well, but I'll take that as an answer. I disagree to some degree, which is, nothing wrong with being kind for sure. And you have to be responsible. It's like, you have to be responsible when you drive, not to hit other cars on the road.
Right.
You can kill other
exactly.
people. I subscribe to that. I'm saying the way we present this to the kids and to all of us has a very negative. There's a way to present it that's informational, and then there's a way to present it that has a little Disney villain sort of scary movie kind of quality to it, which
couldn't agree more.
We've been doing to our kids, and I just think there's going to be some long-term repercussions of trying to scare. Look, I want my kids to not get into vans with strangers. I want them to look right, left, then right again before they cross the street. I want them to do, oh, I think it's left, right, then left again before. I want them to put on a helmet before they get on their BMX bike. Like, I want all that stuff, but I don't want them to be scared. I want them to be responsible. All right.
I couldn't agree more. Absolutely. Those are good parenting rules.
Yeah. I tell my nanny to tell that to the kids all the time.
So he ensures it'll happen.
That's
right. Growing up with Jewish parents, I can't sign off enough on what it does to you psychologically to grow up scared of everything. So you're absolutely right about that, because, you know, you're going to get sick. No, you're going to don't get in that. It's everything all the time. And you know me.
Yes,
this is not.
It creates not anxiety. No, you're a train wreck.
You're a mess.
All right, let me hit Shady Rays here for a second. High quality shades for far less than expensive brands. Not some big corporation that overcharges. Premium polarized shades. You've seen the commercials for these guys. Built for the outdoors and back for life. One of the best warranties in the industry. Replacements if lost or broken for any reason, and lifetime craftsmanship warranty. Most Shady Rays are $48, so half or less than half of what you'd pay at one of these premium places. Free returns and exchanges. You either love your shades or Shady Rays will replace them, and it'll pay to ship them back as well. I got a couple. I got the Aviators, and I put the – I can't remember which ones I gave to Sonny, but did Sonny ever send you that picture of him wearing a Shady Rays?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're driving down PCH and all the phosphorus or iridescent...
bioluminescent algae.
Yeah, algae was there, and he put his shades on, he took a picture of it and said it looked beautiful. Anyway, they're going to provide 10 free meals to fight hunger in America for every order you make. It's Shady Rays, right, Dawson?
Exclusively for our listeners. They gave us the best deal they have to offer. This is a Black Friday-level deal. Use code Corolla for 50% off two or more pairs of ShadyRays.com. Buy one, get one free. You can get two pairs of shades for $48. Redeem only at ShadyRays.com, where you can find all their newest and best shades.
All right, Gene, let's do one and a half more. What do you got?
Okay. So just on the opening up tip, you know, let's take this a little more national. Tourists this summer are going to find smaller crowds when they travel. So that's kind of a silver lining. The popular destinations, they're going to take a lot of social distancing cues from each other. For example, Six Flags over Texas. You want to go with a weight-free theme park experience, this is what I think the model is going to be for a lot of these places. It's just going to be 25% capacity. Online reservations will be required, and they're developing an app to book the rides, meaning you can't wait in line. They don't want you waiting in line, so you just pop over when it's your time to ride the roller coaster. The St. Louis Arch, or as we know it, the Utah the Salt Lake Arch. City Arch.
Well, can I? The gateway. Are they going to charge you? Are they going to charge you more at the Six Flags over whatever? I mean, think about the volume.
Cost is going to be passed on. And that's a big question with the restaurant industry right now. Will there be a COVID surcharge because you're only allowed to seat at half capacity? That's all, I think, being developed right now. But so, for instance, the Arch, they're going to reduce their sizes to 20% capacity. About 60 people an hour can go all the way up to the top to the observation deck. But you can only be in there for 10 minutes because they have to clean it every time the cart comes back down. Bouncers at German nightclubs, they're going to have thermometers. Partiers over 100 degree Fahrenheit, they're not going to be let in. Protective masks on the dance floor. I'm sure a lot of people will be passing out. And
how are you going to flirt? That's going to be hard.
You're going to have to learn to smize like Tyra Banks. That's all with crazy. Your eyes.
A lot of eyebrow
Monte
action.
Carlo, they're planning on opening 4 casinos, and they're handing out masks and silk gloves to provide to gamblers, disinfected slots, decks of cards will be tossed in the garbage after each use.
Do we really need to protect? Do we really need to protect gamblers? Like, isn't gambler?
It's
isn't
in the name.
It's in their title. I'm a gambler. Yeah. I show up. I risk
I'm just
death.
Having this vision of like see-through masks. Like we need to have something where the face is still visible. If
you're absolutely right.
Eating,
and
right?
They have been developed for the deaf community because they can't read lips, obviously, through a mask. So I think we're going to need to give it to everybody.
Yeah.
Look, if somebody hasn't already invented the Rob Lowe mask, I want one. That guy
with
has
a strong chin,
the best chin, the best upper lip, the best orthodonture in the business, and a hell of an actor. But let's focus on the aesthetic. If I'm going to put on a mask, I'm going with the Rob Lowe mask. And yeah, I could put on a clear one, but that's just more me. I don't need that. And you don't want that either. You want the Rob Lowe mask.
You go with Rob Lowe. I'll go with Connie Nielsen.
Look at that beautiful dog Connie has.
I know. He is a cutie.
Look at that.
Yeah. You want to say hi? Come on, say hi.
What kind of puppy is that?
It is an Australian cattle dog. Say hi. Say hi.
So a herder.
Yes, she's a herder. Look at that.
Yeah.
Oh, baby.
Herding is great. Oh. Hoarding is horrible.
Yeah, that's horrible.
It's so little difference right there. You want to live with a herder, not a hoarder.
That's right.
I'm sorry, what is her name?
Her name is Tatum.
Hey, Tatum.
Tatum.
There are places, at least in Malibu, I don't know up where you are, that you can drop off your herding dog for the day and they can go herd.
I need that. This dog needs to be on a ranch. I mean, he's constantly herding us all. I swear.
Where in the Bay Area are you? Because you need some land for a dog like that.
I have a lot of land, actually. It is not enough. They actually even got out today. And then they go for a stroll and, you know, nice people in the neighborhood bring them back. They're just incorrigible dogs. This one is untrainable, by the way, as you can tell. Completely.
Adam has one of those.
Yeah, I have one. Dr. Drew has a couple of, what are his dogs?
Australian sheepdogs, I think.
Yeah, they herd everybody around. They push everyone around the house, too. Like it's crazy.
It's like she does it with her nose. Like she's constantly like pushing people all the time.
Yeah. Well, at least you get the front side. You don't want them hurting with the business end. All right, Gina, one more. You. What do we got?
All right. Well, this is a question for you. You do a little whip around here. So a company, I can't find their name, a website calculated Buzz Bingo calculated which actor swears the most overall total
on screen, obviously
on screen. Any guesses?
I have educated guesses that are beyond educated because I think I saw this story like a week ago on TMZ. Recuse.
Jim Belushi?
Who? Sorry?
Okay.
I said Jim Belushi.
Well, that's a good guess.
Just an overall body of work.
I'm going to go strictly based on volume of years on screen and also a couple of choice selections. I'm going to go with Connie's Devil's Advocate co-star, Al Pacino.
You would be very close, Brian, because most people guessed Al Pacino and Samuel L. Jackson. And most people were wrong.
Oh.
So they studied 3,500 film scripts and find that, Adam, do you know?
Is it De Niro?
DiCaprio was number two, I recall.
And one of his co-stars was number one.
What's his name? With the curly hair. That's
Jonah Hill.
Jonah Hill. The guy you'd never was the number one guy. It's Jonah Hill.
Was he really?
Yeah.
He ended up taking the top spot for swearing more than any other film actor. Much of that comes from his role in Wolf of Wall Street.
I was about to say.
Which contains 715 expletives. and Jonah's characters have cursed 376 times in total. And remember, super bad. You know, he's just the lovable dropper.
Wolf of Wall Street is the most cursing film, right? It has the most cursing.
I've heard that.
Yeah.
Leo came in second because of that movie. After him, Adam Sandler, then Al Pacino, then Denzel Washington, Billy Bob Thornton, probably for Bad Santa, then Seth Rogen, then Bradley Cooper, then Danny McBride.
Jeannie, you may not know this, but is this like per project? Because Pacino's been at the game for 50 years. Like, he's logged a lot more. It's got to be like per script or something.
Well, maybe, but it does seem like they're going through an overall body of work, but I can look into it.
No, it's got to be scripts in the day. It's, you know, Humphrey Bogart didn't cuss in any of his movies and, you know, all those guys. So Pacino's been in a lot of movies, but probably not a lot of cussing in many of his movies.
Mm-hmm. I have an answer to that, and I appreciate Adam's thoughts on that. But Brian, I think you may have been right because I'm looking at a bar graph. Bar graph, and it says swears per thousand words. So I guess it depends on script length as well.
Because Adam, he did like Serpico and some hard boiled stuff in the 70s. So he probably, if Dogged Afternoon, there was certainly a lot of cursing. So his per
pound
is
for
up
pound.
There.
Per.
Well, let's bring it, let's talk about that because in those movies, like those gritty cop 70s movies, there's definitely was cursing, but in the comedies, there's so much more cursing going on because it's not even really used as cursing. You know what I mean?
It's conversation. It's not to be saved for somebody fighting with another person. It's just how you talk.
Right. Like they pulled it out when they needed it in those movies, but it wasn't part of just a conversation.
Right.
Which is now the new world order. All right, Gina, let's bring it home.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
That was the news with Gina Grad.
Last but not least, Tommy John, you're working from home. Yeah, a lot of you working from home these days. You're moving all around, up and down. Tommy John knows. Well, that's the new world order. They got their new and improved men's underwear, making it more resilient. It's two times more durable, and right now, they got a Memorial Day sale. It's up and going, up to 30% off site wide. Upgrade to the softest, most durable fabrics you've ever worn. No wedgie guarantee. Best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free guarantee. The stuff is the best. The loungewear is so good, so soft, so comfortable. And the underwear is, well, once you go with Tommy John, you'll never return to whatever your former brand was. It's the best pair you'll ever wear. It's Tommy John, right, Dawson?
Shop the Memorial Day sale at TommyJohn.com and get up to 30% off site-wide with code Adam. That's Adam for up to 30% off site-wide at TommyJohn.com. See site for details.
Inheritance is the name of the film. It's available Friday on Amazon, iTunes, and on demand. You should check out the trailer for sure before then because I think you're going to be very intrigued. It was a very strong trailer. And support our friend Connie Nielsen at the same time. Thanks for joining us, Connie.
Thanks so much, Adam. This was fun. It was very nice to meet y'all and hang out with you this hour. Thank you so much for having me.
Come back.
Thank you.
Will do. Bye, guys.
Thank you. See you soon. Until, you can go to I'm Your Emotional Support Animal. My new book's available for pre-order right now on Amazon. You can bookmark us and click on through. And YouTube, we got a bunch of stand-up on our YouTube page, youtube.com/Adam Carolla. I'm going to be on Jay Leno's Garage tonight for the new series opening, 10 o'clock. CNBC. And until next time, Good Sports is coming up. Jimmy O. Yang's coming on tomorrow. Until next time, Adam Carolla for Connie Nielsen and Gina Grad and Bull Bryan. Say it. Mahalo.
Stick around. Adam Carolla returns with Dave Damashek for Good Sports right after this.
Podcast One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Quick shout out, Ace Carolla and Company on their way to Houston, Texas in just 2 days. Make sure you check it out. But in the meantime, there he is, ready to kibitz about the world of sports and the game of life. It's Adam Carolla, Dave Damashek here. Welcome to Good Sports. Ace, happy Wednesday. How are you?
Well, I've been better. I had a conversation with my son the other day about the Rams' new uniforms. You know,
I wanted to get your thoughts.
They're trotting out three new uniforms. And I said, it's a slippery slope. You can't have a new combination of uniforms every 3 years. The kids don't grow up with that consistency, that base. Sheck, I hope you can carve out just a couple of minutes and permit me to talk about classic Steelers football for just a bit before you poo-poo it.
Well, does anybody care? I mean, who cares about one team?
Just
I mean,
hear me. Just please, David, please hear me out, okay?
Adam, you just prattle on and on as though what you care about. I mean, it's called masturbation. Just talk about what people want to hear about, Adam, not just you.
Please permit me. We could have been done by now.
Fine. Talk about the Steelers again.
I was watching the Mean Joe Green Football Life.
Ooh.
And, I realize as they're talking to Blunt and Wagner and Shell and Alden Ham and everybody. I was like, I knew every player on that team. I know every player on that team. I was 11 and in North Hollywood. And as a matter of fact, I knew every player on that team. I had no idea where Pittsburgh was. I grew up. Do you understand that my family, my father's family, and me for a period of time hailed from Philadelphia, and I had no idea that both cities resided in Pennsylvania. That's how little I knew, but I knew every player on the team. I knew all their numbers. I knew everything. And, of course, the uniforms were the same. The only mark and change is Terry Bradshaw's face mask, the different colors, the different shape.
Major tentpole event of our youth was when the Steelers switched from gray face masks to black. That was very jarring for all of us.
Right. So I knew all players on both sides of the ball, but I also knew the infield for the Dodgers growing up.
Yeah.
This mix and match and swap out and trade out. You know, we talk about like a throwaway culture. Like, your phone breaks. You don't fix it. You buy a new one. Your TV breaks. You don't fix it. You buy a new one. You know, your son sprains his ankle. You don't take him to the doctor. You get a new son. This is the culture we're living in. And I thought, I don't like it. And part of this is the uniforms being swapped out all the time.
I agree with you about that, and it's a fascinating subject. Yeah, in some ways, technological advancements otherwise, aren't always improvements. I mean, witness when we were growing up, Fonzie taught us the old tube TVs, you just needed to wrap them real good in the right spot and it would fix them. Try that with your flat screen. It's going to shatter. You're going to be on your way to Best Buy or otherwise to replace it. And yes, is it are sports better for free agency? It is an interesting ethical debate here. Of course, if you're pro player, pro human, of course, these guys should be allowed to move about. But for the fans' sake, it is less satisfying. It's undeniable that 20th century sports were better, even though, like I say, ethically, as a human being, you're required to serve one franchise for 15 years rather than pick and choose where you want to be and live with your family. Undeniable, though, that the result is it's a little less satisfying for a sports fan.
And I think it hurts the community. I think it hurts our society in whole. And hear me out. It's the undoing of our society. And I'll tell you why. Because I grew up, I was a Los Angeles Rams fan. I love Jim Youngblood. That dude was a man's man, played defensive end, played with a broken leg, blah, blah, blah. All right, so I love Jim Youngblood. I love playing football. I love defense.
You're talking about Jim's non-relative, Jack Youngblood. Also, on that defense, also a white guy. Unrelated.
Sorry.
Continue.
Sorry. Yes, I screwed it up.
No, it's an easy mistake to make.
Right.
But
Jay Youngblood. All right. Jack Youngblood. Love Jack. I love Jim Youngblood, too, but I love Jack even more. Okay. So now here's my synopsis. What if I grow up in my formative years, and those are formative years, like age 10 to age 13, and you love yourself some Jack Youngblood, and in today's world, he just gets traded off to the 49ers. And then he goes from the 49ers to the Bears. What am I supposed to do emotionally with Jack Youngblood? I love the Rams. Now the Rams are playing the 49ers. Do I hope Jack Youngblood sacks Vince Ferragamo? See, what you're taking now, here's what you're forcing me to do as a society, because think about what people would do with like LeBron James. Like, I love LeBron James. You like Miami? You like Cleveland? You like that? No, I like LeBron James. We're removing the team. We're putting the I in team. We're inserting the I in team, because now we have a bunch of little shits all rooting for their own guy and their own interest. Whereas you grew up bleeding the black and gold of the Pittsburgh Steelers, I felt the same way with the Rams colors running through my veins. But if I had to pick a player and then follow him through the league, how big a Rams fan could I be while I was following my player through the league?
I completely agree with you about this. Of course, this is true. And in fact, all the research indicates that you are exactly right, that this is what the younger demographic does. They are Odell Beckham fans. They are not Cleveland Browns or New York Giants fans. They follow the individuals. They don't care about team brands like we used to. It's funny because Paul Rudd, we've talked about the phenomenon prior to the Lakers and Celtics, but that was similar in the 80s. In the 70s, you had to choose. It was a requirement if you were going to watch football that you could have your local allegiance. You had your eye on the LA Rams, of course, but you chose either the Steelers or the Cowboys. It was a requirement. If you were going to watch football, you had that, because this also, talk about the improvements, the alleged improvements. And sure, red zone is great because you can see what's happening in all the different games, but there's something about it, and maybe it's nostalgia on my part, but the early game was always Pittsburgh, obviously in Pittsburgh, but generally speaking, most of the country got the Pittsburgh Steelers in the early game. And then in the late game, like clockwork, it was Pat Summerall and later John Madden, but before him, Tom Brookshire, calling the Cowboys game. It was like clockwork. And then, like we've talked about too, then on Monday night, you got one brief glimpse at halftime of Monday Night Football of all the other games. There he is, Chuck Foreman. Look at him go for the Minnesota Vikings. Bud Grant. But I mean, that was about the extent of it. And so it forged these loyalties to a couple. And you could, Paul Rudd, to name drop, is a Chiefs fan. He was seen with on camera rejoicing when KC finally got over the hump a couple of months ago. But I've talked with him, and he can recite, like you say, every single Steeler for 15 years based on exactly the phenomenon that we're talking about here. And it's the same thing now. Like, what are, for real, what are Patriots fans? And they get mad at me when I bring it up, but this is what we're talking about. Like, are you going to root for the Buccaneers? What happens if Brady goes to the Super Bowl and plays the Patriots? Unlikely, but let's say that that's the Super Bowl. Let's say it's Jared Stidham or Brian Hoyer against Tom Brady and the Buccaneers in the Super Bowl. Which way are you supposed to root? The guy who, for 20 years, especially if you're a Patriots fan, you never had any success. You never had any Super Bowl victories in your entire history. Then Tom Brady comes. In 20 years, he wins 6 of them. Now he's on another team. Are you really going to be like, yeah, but still the logo. Still, I got to root for the uniform. Or are you going to root for the guy who gave you all those Super Bowls? It's weird.
Well, I do think that the uniform changing every 3.5 years is kind of a stepping stone drug.
That's right.
It's what marijuana is to heroin. Like, it begats this behavior. It's like, because I had an allegiance to the players and to the uniform they wore. And you know what? What if we just did this? What if we said, hey, the American soldier, the Air Force, we're just going to change it up every few years, like they're playing for Oregon. You know what I mean? 1 minute they'll be wearing a navy blue, and then we'll go with the fuchsia, and then we'll go monochromatic. It doesn't work. It's that you're flying in the face of a uniform. The concept of a uniform is consistency. It's not one day this and one day that. It's technically a uniform. If you said everyone who goes to McDonald's wears a McDonald's uniform, that's fine. But if you switched it up every week, at a certain point, it's not really a uniform anymore.
So right about this. Yeah, maybe, but why stop there? Let's just change the stars and stripes. Yeah,
right.
It's not red, white, and blue anymore. It's teal. It's kind of like a deep purple, but with some, you know, blue hints of blue.
And yeah, it's anyway. Satin. It's not glossy. The flag's not glossy. Anyway, after this soliloquy, right. My son looked at a watch that wasn't on his wrist and said, I'm going back to my room. So that's basically how this one ended.
All right, I'm going to go back to my room, but then we'll pick it up tomorrow because I do want to get Adam Carolla, longtime LA Rams fan, his thoughts on the new looks. I don't think it's going to be good. We'll get the final answer, though, tomorrow. Until then, for Adam Carolla, Dave Damaschek, good sports out. Good
sports. Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. Be sure and watch this broadcast at youtube.com/Adam Carolla. And pre-order the Ace Man's new book, I'm Your Emotional Support Animal. It's really good. Pre-order it now at adamcarolla.com.